Let's Hear for the Girls is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise.
Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard.
You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios and Speak Boise at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios,
speak and be heard.
Let's Hear for the Girls is brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communication experts and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprint specializes in making your organization more visible with custom brand apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs, as well as banners and vehicle graphics. You want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com Boise or call 208 Imprint. That's 208-467-7468. Yeah.
I'll wait till you're done chewing.
You're so rude. Okay, that cookie wasn't that bad.
It's a lemon drop cookie from our favorite place, Panera.
Yes.
Thanks, Panera.
Thank you, Panera. You're not sponsored.
Oh, could you imagine?
Oh my gosh. They would hate us because we would be their breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And Leonard.
And brunch. Leonard. Lunch.
I love Panera. Panera reminds me of how fortunate I am to live in this country, but also how freaking broke I am. Because like, where do you go and you get like fresh ingredients for like, you know what I mean? Like it's so convenient. Like literally it took like less than 10 minutes to get my meal.
Well, that's what you're paying for is convenience.
Right.
Because you can do this all at home.
Yeah.
We just don't want to.
But then
to.
Like every time I go, I end up spending like $20.
$20.
And I'm like, Colin.
Here's why. Because they have a pick two situation, right?
Like a lot of places do. I don't do a pick two.
I will do a pick two plus three more things that
I want. Yeah, exactly.
Like, picking two is
full sizes.
It's not stopping me from getting more things. That's the problem.
Yeah, because I feel like I save monies and I'm still going to be hungry. So let me get more.
Yeah.
Always have to get a cookie.
Always.
Have to get a large drink because they have baby cups. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They charge you for everything. Like I added arugula and they charged me like
$4.
Yeah. For a half a cup of feta cheese, it's going to be $35,000.
Oh my God.
It's expensive, but it's worth it because you never feel like full sick. You just feel full satisfied. Like you could go do things. Like I could go around town and do errands and like.
Well, yeah, it's not like me eating fucking McDonald's yesterday.
Oh my God.
Which like, look, I didn't even get a big meal. I got just like one of their crispy chicken sandwiches because I was in a rush, but I still feel like trash afterward, so which is my own damn fault.
Anyway,
I mean, what have you been watching?
We
skipped a week because someone, Colin, went to the coast.
I went to Lincoln City. I went
so
to
fun.
Kind of your neck of the woods.
My old stomping grounds. Yeah.
I went with a huge chunk of my family. So my mom, my dad, my grandparents, my aunt, and my brother and his family. And we stayed in this gorgeous, we rented like a Airbnb. It was stunning.
Love it.
It was like literally steps outside of to the ocean. Mm. I went whale watching.
Fun.
It was so much fun. I got
Yay.
To play with my nephew and
Love
be
that.
A great uncle and teach him things. He calls me dad. I think that is hilarious.
That's really funny.
He was super excited to see the beach. And whenever he wanted to go, he would say, "Where's the bitch? Where's the bitch?"
Instead of beach.
Yes.
Children are so funny.
So my parents were dying laughing. So yeah, we had a fantastic time.
Did you get in the water?
A little bit. I put
It's chilly.
It's very cold. It's very frigid. And I had like a goth nautical theme going.
God,
I was
damn
all
it.
Black and white, but sweats and like loafers and beanies. And it was really, I looked really good.
I bet you did.
I have a new purchase.
I see.
I still
that.
Need to, a brand new purse. I don't have a name for her yet.
Is it like a brand I would know?
Coach?
Oh, it is a Coach bag.
Yeah.
I can't see it because your big ass drink is in the way. See, it was covering Coach.
Yeah, I haven't named her, but.
What do you typically name a purse?
Something very effeminate and extra.
Like
same thing with cars. Like my car's
Charlize.
Name is Whitley. Yeah, Charlize. Dahlia.
Oh.
Yeah, something like that. So I have to.
Man alive.
Anyway, back to you. Oh, what have I been watching?
Back to you.
I have been obsessed with America's Next Top Model. I've started from season one.
I kind of want to do that again. It's problematic
as fuck, but it's so entertaining.
That was like the height of middle school television. Yeah. Going to my friend's house because we didn't ever have cable.
Yeah.
And so like just sitting my ass in front of VH1 watching America's Next Top Model. Yes.
So good. But so bad.
So bad.
And they knew, even at that time, they knew it wasn't like what they were saying was like, it was a scotch, like rude and controversial.
Definitely.
But they were like, we'll get away with it because we're the modeling agency. Like they weren't at that point where people were like, okay, and this is enough. There's these moments where you could see everyone, like someone would say something like, oh, she's fat. And they would all look at her like, but they would be like, she still needs to lose weight. So it was just this weird, like,
ooh.
Yeah, it was weird. But anyway, gross. What have you been watching?
I have been watching.
You said you were like, I can't wait to tell
you. Oh, okay. Yeah. Not this. I've been watching The Bachelorette because I want to. And I'm happy with who they chose. I wish I didn't have the sickness that I wanted to watch it. But here we are. What I've been watching that I was excited to tell you was HBO Max's Mayor of Easttown. With Kate Winslet.
Oh, and that's like the thriller murder.
It's awesome.
Oh.
Okay. It's so good. They live in Pennsylvania and have these rural Pennsylvania accents, and they do it really well. It's kind of exaggerated when Kate Winslet does it because she, you know, she's British. But they'll be like, are you home yet? Like, it's such a weird, like, their vowels are so different. I don't know. Growing up in the Pacific Northwest, we don't. I mean, everyone has an accent. Everyone has an accent technically, but I feel like, I don't know.
I don't think it's pronounced for us.
No, I don't think so. We're just pretty even. So I've been watching that, and yeah, that's kind of it.
Hey.
It's been nice.
That sounds like that's a good one.
It's a good one. I recommend.
So we're the movie of the day, which you picked. Technically, yes, you did. We said
I suggested it.
You suggested it, and I said yes. So technically, you picked it.
You said yes, though.
Yes, I said I confirmed your selection.
No, you said, and I quote: "Look up strong female lead movies on Hulu that we can watch." And I was naming them for you, and then you said yes to first. Okay, that's what happened.
Still selecting your choice. Anyway,
it's not my choice.
Okay. The movie we're doing this week is called
First Wives Club,
released in 1996.
2 years before our producer Ryan was born, that we just found out today.
Old Betty's. Old Betty's.
Man.
So, First Wives Club,
yep.
Released in 1996. One of my favorite movies.
AKA your choice, but go ahead.
I don't know about my favorite. I really enjoy this movie. I've seen it multiple times.
Mm.
And this is going to kill me because I already know how you feel.
No, you don't.
I do. Director is Hugh Wilson. He has done very few movies, two that I knew of, and I think you will too. Police Academy.
Like number one or number 37.
He did the original one released in like the 70s
never,
or 80s.
Never seen him.
But know of.
Sure.
And then this one cracked me up. Dudley Do Right.
Oh my God, with Brendan Fraser when he's the Canadian Monty. I thought that movie was so funny when it came out because we were like 10.
Yeah, I never watched it. I liked him more in Back to the Future with Alicia Silverstone. You have never seen that movie?
Oh, wait, Back to the Future?
Not Back to the Future. Blast from the Past, something like that.
They all sound great. I don't know.
That was one of my favorite movies.
I don't know that one.
Anyway, producer is Scott Rudin.
Yes, I've seen that name.
Yeah. Well, dude has some credits.
Credits.
Like Adam's Family, Zoolander, Lady Bird, Uncut Gems, Grand Budapest Ooh. Hotel.
Ooh, a big genre there.
Yes, yes, yes.
Lots
like
of different
Ex Machina.
Ones.
I don't know if you've ever seen that
Oh my
one.
Gosh.
So he is super producer.
Dang.
And then screenplay was by Robert Harleen. And he has done a lot of like my other favorite movies and TV shows.
Such as?
Steel Magnolias.
Oh, cool. Cool, cool, cool.
She wrote the screenplay. Good Christian Bitches, which is a TV show with Kristen Chenoweth.
Chenoweth?
Yeah. And it's about these like Southern Texas Christian women.
I love her voice.
It's hilarious. And it's then amazing. Soap Dish.
Oh, your fave.
Yeah, I love that movie. So I'm like, that makes sense why I like this movie so much.
Okay.
It's based on a book by Olivia Goldsmith, same title.
Okay.
And there's some big differences. Structurally or plot wise, the same, but theme and feeling very different.
Ooh.
Which I think kind of leads to some of the response to the movie.
All right.
So we're going to switch things up. We're going to go straight to like audience reception.
Oh. Please.
Okay. Ready?
No. Yeah. Yes.
What is the tomato meter or sort of the critic score?
72.
Woo! Off.
Is it lower?
Yeah.
48.
Well, you're close. It's 50%.
Oh. That's what I would have said anyway. But.
Okay. Audience score?
56.
68.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Box office. What do you think its opening box office was?
What month did it come out?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, that's going to fucking make me guess better. I'm just stalling. 1996. What was the budget?
I'm Googling that right now.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I know.
I have a feeling that it, I mean, this is for women. This is for white women. That's a lot of movies that we do are.
26 million for the budget.
26 million in 1996.
Yeah,
that seems pretty high.
This is in New York. Three big actors, a lot of big actresses.
Yeah. Did it make?
No.
It made 8 million total.
18.5 for opening week. Lifetime is 100.5 million. Now, for some perspective, Nutty Professor was released the same year. And its opening was 25 million, and its domestic or overall total was 273 million.
Oh my God. This movie that gives you any sense. Case,
this movie did not do good. It was nominated for an Academy Award.
For what? Sorry.
Best Original Musical or Comedy Score.
Okay, fine.
So
I have no issue with that.
A quick synopsis about the movie.
Please.
It's surrounds four women, one passes away, but three women who went to college together in 1969. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward
20 years.
20 years. Mm-hmm. And these women found out four women. One of them has committed suicide, and it's kind of alluded because her husband left her
for a younger woman.
Yeah. She's alone, blah, 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 blah. So then the friends reunite at the funeral. They kind of have lunch after, and they share stories, and they share the similar connection, not only their past, but each one of them have issues with their husbands. Their husbands has left them for another woman, divorced them, or on the verge of leaving them.
Yeah.
And so the movie kind of tracks their pathways together as they try to seek revenge for other husbands and kind of ruin their careers and reclaim some power.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the film, there's some conflict between the women. Mm-hmm. They resolve it and they switch and pivot from revenge to kind of, it's still revenge.
They call
but
it
with
justice.
A cause. Justice.
Justice.
Perfect.
That's what she calls it.
And so it's justice to kind of honor their fallen sister.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the premise of the movie. There's some little things that we can talk about here and there, but really it surrounds these women sticking it to the
coming
men.
Coming together and.
Yeah. Sisters doing it on their own.
Yeah.
So the actresses.
Yes.
Big names in this movie.
Big names.
I'm going to name them off and then we can kind of talk about the three and the,
awesome.
Themes and everything.
Awesome.
So we have Bette Midler as Brenda. She's kind of this New York Jewish mother. Her husband owns these like electronic stores. And I just want to say he would have been in a toilet nowadays because besides Best Buy.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nobody.
Oh yeah, exactly. Like so, it's just all commercial now. Right.
Hilarious. So yeah. Brenda's this kind of boisterous, bigger than life kind of attitude played by Bette Midler. Kind of perfect.
No filter. Yeah. Like she's the funny one.
What's your favorite Bette Midler movie?
Oh, I mean, The Child in Me says Hocus Pocus, of course, God, yeah. Obviously. Oh my gosh, I don't know if, I mean, yeah, I'm gonna say Hocus Pocus.
Yeah,
it's so iconic.
Yeah, you know? She's good in it. Stepford Housewives with Nicole Kidman. Ooh, Kimmich, she's really
that's
good in
a
that.
Really good one. Oh, yeah. Too.
Weird movie, but really good.
Yeah, I like that one.
The Goldie Hawn plays Elise.
Elise Elliott.
Yeah, Elise Elliott was this famous movie star, screen and stage. Her husband is this like producer off of her work, gets to become a top producer, and then he leaves her for a much younger woman.
Much younger. And he is played by Victor Garber. Yes. Who we love. I love Victor Garber.
He's a good one.
He's in everything.
Yeah, literally. It's kind of hard to like, what has he not been in?
Yeah.
And so then she, it's also her career stalling. And she's transitioning from the young, beautiful starlet to like the older, push her in the corner. We don't want to cast the older
Well,
woman.
And she says there's three different roles women can play in Hollywood. You either play the babe, the young woman, you play the district attorney.
Yes.
Or you play someone like
the mom
or someone older.
Yeah.
And so we see her getting like lip filler and she just is so desperate to stay young, and she's auditioning for these roles that you're like, you know, you're not going to get those. And, but she refuses to like take roles.
Yes.
That
alcoholic.
Big time.
So
big
she,
time.
Yeah, Goldie Hawn. What is your favorite Goldie Hawn movie?
Okay, when I was young, I watched Overboard with her and Kurt Russell. And even though it's super cheesy, I think it's really cute.
It's a good one.
So I would say that the Banger Sisters is also with her and Susan Sarandon is also a favorite as well. But I would probably, I think Overboard, and just the fact that it's her and Kurt Russell and they're still together. I mean, yeah.
Is she your favorite Hawn?
Yes. Is she your favorite Hawn in that lineage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's her daughter's name again?
Kate Hudson.
I love Kate Hudson in, what's the one with Matthew McConaughey? Oh, that movie.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Oh, classic.
Never seen the whole thing.
Oh, what? We should do that movie one time. it's so good. Diane Keaton plays Annie, who is this kind of neurotic. Very emotional, going to therapy, trying to assert herself. Her husband is just kind of, everybody kind of runs over her.
Her daughter calls her a doormat. Her mother, a very controlling mother.
And so her husband sleeps with her and she thinks they have a romantic dinner. They sleep together. She thinks they're finally going to be on the same page. And he asks for a divorce. Comes to find out the husband is sleeping with her therapist, therapist. Mm. And that kind of just sets her off on the deep end.
Mm.
And so she is looking to kind of regain the marketing firm that her, it feels like her and her husband started together.
Yeah.
And so
that part's a little less clear than like the other two.
Yes.
And so her husband is played by Stephen Collins, which everybody knows he got in some trouble a while ago because he's kind of a pervert. And, but he played the dad on Seventh Heaven. Yes. That's how I know Stephen Collins, right?
Yeah.
And he also plays Andy's dad in The Office.
Yes.
And then the therapist is played by Marcia Gay Harden.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really interesting role for her.
She did good, though.
It was good, but normally you see her as kind of these, like, debutante, like, very prissy.
Yeah.
Like, and to see her as kind of like a sex pot, she's very you know? Sexy. Like, I just never.
Yeah. Yeah. And she kind of narrates the story, and so we hear her voice. And they're using her as, like, a device to, like, navigate the scenes.
Yeah.
Then we have Dame Maggie Smith play Giuliana Grayson Goldberg.
The queen herself.
She plays this like Upper East Side socialite, older socialite, who's kind of helping the women seek revenge. You know what I mean? She's kind of the device.
Puppeteering.
Yeah,
it's like no one gets anywhere in this town without her say so, right? Yeah. Like she's the queen bee.
And we know Dame from Harry Potter.
Downton Abbey.
My favorite Yaya sister. Sisterhood of the Yaya Sisterhood. She's been in like, I don't know how old she is.
No one knows.
Yeah. She could be 150. She could be
80.
Huge range. She's been acting forever. And then
she's amazing.
Two of like the bimbos.
Mm.
The other two bimbos are SJP, Sarah Jessica Parker.
SJP, she looks hot.
Shelley, who is hot. Marty, who's Brenda's husband. Or no.
Yeah.
No, Morty. That was Morty. Oh yeah, she was with Morty. Yeah. She plays this blonde bimbo spending his money. Bitch. Very mean, very nasty.
Yeah.
And then Elizabeth Berkley, who plays Phoebe, who plays Elisa's Goldie Hawn's husband's new woman.
Yeah.
I can't remember his character's name.
Bill.
Bill. And she is this young ingenue who gets casted with Elise as her daughter. Mm-hmm. Come to find out she's very young.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so we know Elizabeth Berkley from Saved by the Bell. Mm-hmm. And then my favorite, Showgirls.
Showgirls.
Have you seen Showgirls?
No.
Oh, we're going to do Showgirls.
Oh, but then, if I may say, a couple more cast members we have.
Yeah, yeah.
Cynthia, who is the fourth friend who takes her own life at the beginning, mm-hmm. is Stalker Channing, a.k.a. Rizzo from Grease. Mm-hmm. She looks beautiful with longer hair like that. Like, I thought she was like, the older she got, the more beautiful she was.
Yeah, she looks like Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah. And then another bimbo in the movie is that, you know, when they all go to her funeral, the guy or the Cynthia's ex-husband or husband, whatever, is like got married like right after she died to Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
So we had this other gorgeous blonde bombshell. And then, you know, and they're all snotty and they're all mm-hmm. bitchy. And so anyway.
So question.
Yes.
What did you think of this movie?
Let's see here. I didn't dislike it.
Okay.
There were some things that bugged me. There's one character in particular that bugged me. I bet you can guess who. And, there were some tropes I didn't care for. The thing is we just did a revenge story, right? In Promising Young Woman. Obviously, these two movies couldn't be more different in their revenge on men,
yeah.
right? And I mean, but obviously, this was from 1996, yeah. right? I think for the time, a lot of those tropes that I didn't care for, like that just was pretty normal. And mm-hmm. I don't think it was analyzed not nearly as much. I would give it a 6.8.
Wow. I thought you were going to say like a 5.
No, I'd give it like a 6.8.
I get a lot. I went rewatching it. And with a critical eye and not just enjoying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I could see a lot of the criticism. The movie did not do well with critics.
Because why?
Well, like Robert Ebert gave it 2 stars.
Oh, Bobby, no.
Yeah. And I think it's because of a lot of things. Like it was lazy, especially if you look at the book. Mm. The book, of course, books are always better because yeah. you can expand upon a thought, an idea, a scene.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the book was a lot more graphic. These women had a much more fuller lives. And so besides the plot, the movie just skims the top of like what the book does. The book is a lot more sexual. It's a lot more language. There's a lot more FUs. And these women are mad. Okay. You know what I mean? You get to see a full range of
yes.
emotions. I think most of the characters in this movie are like playing on tropes, like you
yes,
said.
Yes.
And like each one is a trope.
Yes.
That feels kind of dated. And I think even at the time it was just like, well, can we have a more complex storyline? Like,
right.
The movie kicks off with one of the friends, Rizzo's character. What was her name again?
Cynthia.
Cynthia. Committing suicide.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know what I mean? Like if my friend committed suicide, like there would, even if there was some time
that had passed
yeah.
and you weren't as close.
Yes. There is never a sense of like the gravity of the situation, like maybe for a split second. And then it's like,
not enough though.
Yeah. To be like, I would love to have it. I mean, I think because if you took it there though, where they had a scene where they were like emotional and they were sharing these emotions, like I felt the same way, or if I tried, or you know, I had a miscarriage and made me feel this way, or like sharing of emotions
yeah.
of like what it means to yeah. be a woman in her, you know, I mean, having children and letting go of love and
right.
being in the middle of your life and you don't know how to process that and having this crisis. I think that would take the movie into a whole different direction.
I think so too.
And I think they were really pushing for a much more lighthearted.
Definitely.
Kind of comedy.
Definitely.
Doesn't help though that the producer, screenwriter and
Man,
especially since it's based off of a book about, you know,
written by a woman
for women. It's kind of like, could have had one woman in there.
Could have just like snuck one in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. You let me know when it's time for me to talk about my specific critiques.
Oh, no, go for it.
Okay. My first one is that the narrative here is that if your husband leaves you or divorces you and takes another and starts being with a younger woman, you have nothing in your life anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And that's fucking bullshit.
Yes.
You know? So
Can I add to something really
quick?
Oh,
please, please. Yeah.
I think you're just missing one part.
What?
Is that all economic and
nice
responsibility nice. Is not your, you know what I mean? It's your husband's.
Right.
You are supposed to give it up.
Right.
And then like the revenge is to reclaim it. It's right. not like these women could have like had money saved up or could
totally.
Have. Totally. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah, that was the other piece.
That's a really good point. And I didn't see it so much with Goldie Hawn's character.
Yeah, Elise,
you
yeah.
saw it with Brenda because you see, okay, she still has her son. But it's like, it was just kind of this narrative. And it's like, they chalked up Cynthia's suicide to like loneliness and neglect.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because she got a divorce? Like, I just feel like and of course that's traumatic for a lot of people. It's freeing for other people, but there's so much more to unpack there. And just the thought of like, I'm going to jump off my beautiful Upper East Side Jesus. Apartment because my husband's with a younger woman. Like there's just, that's too surface level to me. That's too shallow.
Yeah. They tickled on like this idea of like, it was a publicity. Like she had all these magazines and like newspapers right. and like, it's more about embarrassment, but I'm like,
right.
did this woman not have any friends? Did this woman right. not have a sister or somebody who she could call? You know what I mean?
Right.
She could see her like giving stuff away to the maid and yeah. you're just like, that's the only person
right.
who she like, this can't, you know what I mean? Like this is a little dramatic and not in a good
right.
way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so that bothered me a little bit. Cause I'm like, okay, well like that. Yeah. And so, the other, what's her face? Annie, who's played by Diane Keaton. She's a total doormat. And I don't care for Diane Keaton's acting.
I was going to ask.
I'm just going to tell you right now.
I didn't think you did. I was like, I wonder what, I don't think she does.
And part of that is
like in general or just in this
in
movie?
General.
Oh,
in general, I do. I'm not a fan of Diane Keaton's acting.
Oh my God. I can't believe you just said that.
I know.
That's like,
I'll say it. I said what I said.
I said what I said. Listen, that's like a big, she's a.
But, you know, it's.
It's like someone saying like, oh, I don't care for like Meryl Streep.
That's not the same. That's.
She's pretty established. I would say her later stuff is like.
What has she done lately?
What has she done lately?
I'm just asking.
Nothing. My favorite is Family Stone.
Oh, that's the best fucking movie.
Yeah.
That movie, her in that movie, love it.
Yes.
Love it, love it, love it. First of all, I think my problem with her is I'm on the fuck Woody Allen bandwagon. Ooh. And so yes, she lives for him and has done she all of does. His movies and has defended him endlessly, yeah. which I'm not like cool with.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, she plays these annoying, blustering, flubbering, neurotic.
She's
like
so shut good at it.
It's so fucking
she's
annoying.
So good at it though.
I'm gonna tell you a scene that I was like, I'm gonna kill her. So two scenes. Okay, so they're in. So there's this funny scene. This was funny when Brenda has this friend who's an interior decorator, and he's like the 10 worst in the city. Like he's not good.
Yeah.
Maggie Smith plays this. Plays the. Socialite herself mm-hmm. and is telling Morty's new girl, Sarah Jessica Parker, like, you have to hire this man. He's the best in the business. He's yes. from France and all this stuff. And so he comes over because they're trying to get documents out of Morty's mm-hmm. Office. And so he says, you know, I need this place to myself. I have to leave. You two have to leave. And so then he gets the three main women in the apartment so they can search for the documents. So, you know, of course, comedy, comedy, comedy. They come home.
Comedy, comedy,
comedy, comedy, comedy, comedy. They come home early. Oh no. And so they're still in the office upstairs. Morty and Bimbo are downstairs.
Bimbo.
Well, I forgot her name in the movie.
Shelly.
Thank you. So Morty and Shelly are downstairs with the interior decorator who's like trying to like signal to be like, get out while they're looking this way. Mm-hmm. And Diane Keaton is just like
melting
down in the like, office and and screaming. But she's like a thrashing whale on the beach and her hair is just going everywhere and just like, and I literally, that's the point where you just slap someone in the face.
Isn't that what's her name does?
At a later point. Yes. But at that time, like I had a friend in college that was a little like that, that was like, be fucking rational for 2 seconds and don't freak out, you know? And so that part really bothered me. And so then later in that same scene, they escape on the window washers thing. So it's funny, but I had an issue with it because they're getting on this window washing contraption, right? They're super far up. Diane Keaton looks down and screams bloody murder, which it's just like, shut the fuck up. But when people can't keep a cool head, it bothers me. And I know it shouldn't because like, not everyone's cool in every situation, but for some reason when she does it, it just makes my blood boil. But anyway, so Brenda has the contraption about the window washing thing. And then it's kind of this trope of three women trying to figure this out. Like, oh, I don't know what to do. And it's like, that's fucking bullshit. Because if it were three men in that scene, they would figure it out right away. I'm sure that thing said up or down. Like, I'm sure there were literally two controls. Like, you can figure it out. But it kind of, like, maintains that helpless narrative of, now that my husband's not in the picture anymore, I have to fend for myself. And I just don't, I didn't like that. But yeah, Diane Keaton annoyed the shit out of me in that movie.
Thank you for sharing.
Did I just ruin your day?
Jesus. Okay, who did you like?
I surprisingly liked Goldie Hawn more than I thought.
Okay, perfect.
Here's
more than you thought.
Because I need a cookie. Because at the beginning of the movie, when she like wants to get her lips done and stuff like that.
God, love it.
I know you love that. I don't, as you know. But there was just a big part of me because she was overlining her lips and she had so much fucking lipstick and gloss on. I wanted to take a napkin
just like,
and put it in between her lips and say, okay, press down a little bit and just like clean it up a little bit, you know?
No, I love it.
But I think she's iconic. I love her.
She's such a great actress.
I liked her character.
Yeah.
Out of
all of them, she had probably the most like range. Like
I would say that.
Yeah.
I would say that's for sure. You know, and of course like the big, not really surprised of the film, but it was like, oh my God, Annie's daughter's a lesbian.
Yes.
And so they go to this gay lesbian this gay bar. And it's just kind of that whole like, you know, your lifestyle. And obviously
so 90s.
In the 90s, people said, you know, being gay was a lifestyle. So I'm always just kind of like, oh my God. But I mean, it was a fine movie. It was a fine movie. It was just those tropes and Diane Keaton's screaming. She's a flailer.
Oh, we're back.
She's a flailer.
She's a
flailer.
She's flailing.
Not a failure, but a flailer. Just like all arms and she shakes her head so much. And then she does that in a lot of different movies.
Yes.
And it's enough. Enough. What was the enough is enough.
What was the one where she's like on the beach and it has
Jack Nicholson?
Yes.
Something's Gotta Give.
Yeah. Isn't her character kind of like that too?
Yeah, but not as much. Like I'm okay with that movie. The Family Stone is Diane Keaton at her fucking finest, in my opinion.
When she's smarter than everybody.
Yes.
When she's witty.
When she's kind of like a hippie a little bit. You know, I will not recognize any Woody Allen film as good, so.
That is fair.
I'll skip all of those that she was in because she's in like a million.
Here's a question.
Yes, please.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
Is she a comedian?
Here's that's so funny that you say that because SJP to me. you know, we know her as Carrie, right? She's Carrie Bradshaw.
Yes.
Carrie Bradshaw, that's the most annoying character in the Sex and the City in general. I think I've always said, and I've tweeted this before, you can look it up, that every time Carrie Bradshaw screams, an angel dies or an angel loses its wings because it's the most shrill, obnoxious sound. I'm thinking of that episode when her and Aiden go to the cabin And then Big comes and she's like making a pie and she sees like a squirrel or something yes. like in nature. And she screams and it's this high, so pitch, high pitch. And it's just like, bitch, cool it. Cool it. I think I know why I don't like that.
Okay.
It just came to me. You know, those girls that do that kind of shit for attention.
Oh, God.
Like at parties mm-hmm. and they'll like just kind of like milk it for all it's worth.
Totally.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
That's
it's unnecessary.
It's completely unnecessary. So that's why I think it feels like that. But then I remember I was watching Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, that Jerry Seinfeld show mm-hmm. on Netflix. And I was watching it with my dad. And one of the episodes was Sarah Jessica Parker. And I was like, oh, I thought this was for comedians. Like, I thought it was for comedians. So, and
that's the question.
So I'm
that's like,
what do you think?
I don't know. I've never seen her in a serious film. And like the closest you get is that Divorce TV show that's on HBO. Oh,
with Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah, I think it's called Divorce, right?
He's on my top five list.
Oh.
I'll be honest.
Okay. Well, she's on that. And even that's kind of like a dark.
I've not seen it.
I've seen like a few snippets of it. And it's kind of this dark comedy. And, you know, even Sex and the City to an extent kind of got a little. Whenever like the love scenes between her and Big or Aaron Aiden got a touch of serious, but I've never seen her in like a dramatic role.
That's true, because in The Family Stone, but this is the thing. She's in comedic movies a lot, but she's always the serious one. Not always, a lot of the time.
Yeah.
In The Family Stone, she's this uptight, serious, corporate kind of, you know, just kind of upper
stick
echelon.
Stick up the butt.
Yeah, stick up their butt. You know, same like We're the Millers or I don't know how she does it. Like she's always the working woman and like has to take things seriously. And I've never seen her in like what do I want to say? Like, have you seen Anne Hathaway and Rachel Getting Married?
Mm-mm.
Okay, that's a bad example. But like a truly dramatic role.
Yeah.
And she's never played someone else, right?
She's always a version of like the SJP. You know what I mean? Like
I don't think she's ever been in a biopic is what I'm saying. Like, okay, we have Amy Adams playing Liz Cheney.
No,
we have
that's
not her jam.
No, her face is too unique. And I don't mean that in a mean way. Like Sarah Jessica Parker is Sarah Jessica Parker. You can't.
She's so recognizable.
Yeah. You can't transform her. Who's playing Tammy Faye? Jessica Chastain.
We love Jessica Chastain.
They just released a trailer. It looks so good. Sorry.
I'm pumped. We have to go to the theater to see that. So you can get your Giant Coke Zero.
Oh, my God. Please, God. No, Pepsi, since they got rid of Coke.
Oh, we're boycotting then. We'll go out of state to watch it.
What could have made this movie better for you?
I think not falling into those really tired tropes. And honestly, though, but like tropes like that, like for 1996, the one that I dislike the most is that if you don't have a husband, then your life is over. Like, I just like being lonely is often temporary and it's okay to lean into it. And it's kind of like the message is like being loneliness is just like going to kill you. And you're just going to be this spinster alone drinking vodka by yourself. Like,
well, I think they were trying to show like that is a myth, but I don't think they did a good job.
Yeah.
Like I think they were trying to show like finding solace within other women can get you to that point.
Yes.
But because it was so focused on getting back at these men.
Yes. That they were still the
goal was always
goal.
Yes. Whereas it wasn't, there was never the switch where there was times that could, after they had the big fight and things fell apart.
Right.
Those were moments and where they're coming back together.
Yes.
Those were moments where they could have had like a wine night or movie night. I'm thinking of like, I don't know if you've ever seen Waiting to Exhale.
No.
Oh, we got to do that one.
Oh
that
my has God.
That has Whitney Houston in it. And it has Angela Bassett in it. Incredible.
My favorite
it's
person.
Very similar, not similar, kind of similar. Like, four or five black women, they're lost or going through issues with their marriage.
Okay.
It's much more serious.
Oh, I would probably like that one then.
And each woman has their own journey and there's times where the women come together and find solace within each other.
Okay.
If they had moments like that, okay, and the revenge, and then they move past the revenge, and the men just lost everything on their own, like this cosmic karma.
I would have liked that much better.
Another idea.
Yes.
And this is like tapping into what actually has happened. They have turned this into a TV show.
I saw that.
I want to watch it.
Okay.
I don't typically like BET TV shows just because I think they don't always get the, because the budget is so low, they don't always get the best talent.
Oh.
Not always actors, but like directors, writers, screenplay. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like not always the best. Right. But I like the concept of a TV show because it gives you more time. Even the limited series would give you more time to explore each woman, their backstory. Because that's the thing. You also don't know how these women are connected. Like, they went to college together. I went to college with a lot of white bitches. And you don't see me. Excuse my friends. You don't see me best friends with them. Jumping on Brit. No, I'm just joking. But, like, trying to steal our men's money.
Yeah, I get it.
So it's just like I wanted to see, like, and then things could have been recalled. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Like whenever they did do it in the movie, you're like, I don't know what this means. Like you're just supposed to be like, oh yeah, they're friends for a long time. Not like, oh, let's recall that moment where you.
Well, absolutely, because even at Cynthia's funeral, like Annie comes up to Goldie Hawn's character, and she gets her name wrong.
God, yeah.
Like Goldie Hawn, or what's her name?
Elise.
She's like, instead of Annie, she says like Amy or something like that. And she's like, it's Annie. Like, but at the beginning of the movie, when you see, so you see these four women on their graduation day, right? Yes. And Cynthia gives everyone real pearl necklaces and they're all matching. And so then we see before she dies, she gives the pearl necklace to the housekeeper. Mm-hmm. And she does that because it's the most precious thing she has, in my opinion. And she knows that she's going to die. She knows she's going to take her own life. And she doesn't want her husband to have it. She doesn't want this new bitch to have it. Like, and so it's kind of like this special moment, like at the beginning, like it's graduation day. And it's like these four strong women that are in college in the 60s, which not all women went to college in the 60s. Yeah. And so like, I just kind of feel like we were set up to be like, wow, look at these four like badass women, like educated women.
Yeah.
And then, oh my gosh, we're nothing without our husbands. Like, yeah. I didn't love that transition, I guess.
Yeah. And that's why I think a TV show would have shown how, like, Annie's character, what's her name? The woman you hate. Diane Keaton's character. Like she just.
Daniel Keaton.
Daniel Keaton. Diane Keaton's character. Annie. Like she just steals her husband's freaking company underneath him.
Yeah.
Like does she have. Like not to say, does this woman have marketing experience? But like literally, we know she went to college, but.
For what?
For what? It could have been for. Yeah. Mathematics could have been for early childhood education. We don't know. But all of a sudden
she could be a fucking biologist for all we know.
Marine biologist at this point. And all of a sudden she gets a whole fucking marketing company that's supposed to be multi-$1 million.
Right.
Like I want to see this woman start, start with the first designs. I gave it to her husband and see how her husband stole them. And that, so when we're looking at this woman, we can go.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Because it's referenced in the film that like her husband is like, you can't, like doesn't believe in her.
Yeah.
And just perpetuates that doormat thing, which I'm not saying some spouses aren't a doormat.
Yeah,
that happens
real people.
All the time. Yeah. Right. And it's very unfortunate and people don't feel like they can stand up for themselves. But what you just said, if we saw that this was
a talented woman,
and this talent and this passion, and then it got swept up because her husband, and I thought that
there could
been.
Be legitimate reasons. Yeah. Like it doesn't have to just be he was an asshole from the get. That's the other thing. The men were just like, I get because they were, it's a fast paced movie.
Mm-hmm,
it's very short, fast paced movie. They really can't delve into like really complex characters.
Right.
But the men were just like one note, except for maybe Marty, which is Brenda.
Morty
slash Bette Miller's character. They get back together at the end. The other two women leave their husbands.
Right.
He was the only one with a little bit of a sense of like morality. Everybody else was just these like jerky, some of the bitches, as my mom would say.
Yeah, and handsome.
Handsome, but jerky, like
because Morty was not handsome.
Morty wasn't handsome. No.
But here's something I want to ask you about, because when this scene played, I was like, I got to talk to Colin about this. So you and I have had the discussion about your dislike for Italian Sicilian mafia films.
Oh my gosh.
I love them. You hate them. You have an amazing reason for it, right? So the scene. Okay, so.
Do I have an amazing reason for it?
I thought it was a really good reason.
What was it?
Do you not remember your reason? You said that those films glorify
Gang violence.
Violence and crime. Yes. And so.
But if you do the same film with black people, it's no, it's gross.
Yeah, yes. It's yeah, wrong.
That's a great reason.
Aren't you glad I reminded you? Yeah. To you, silly goose. So there's the scene in the movie where they're at Bette Midler's son, Jason, his bar mitzvah, mm-hmm. right? And they're obviously Jewish. And so then this like uncle comes into
I can't remember his name. But he's so Italian.
It's Carmine.
Carmine.
Italian. Like, that is, it's my Uncle Carmine. Like, you know, so it's like, Carmine will take him out and stuff. So then they get Morty, like, in this fucking butcher shop.
Oh,
and,
my God.
In the freezer area where they, like, hang up all the dead animals. And so it's that kind of scene like you would see in a mafia movie where they're kind of like shaking him down and there's like these two bodyguards and Uncle Carmine's like giving him.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bette Midler stands up and she's like, it's, you know, this or jail or blah, blah, blah. Did you think that was out of place? Oh, I just burped. Sorry.
You could have played it off. Did I think it was out of place? Yeah, I don't understand the purpose of
that. Was a weird one.
That was weird. Hilarious, though.
And I'm not saying there's not Italian Jews.
I didn't know they exist. However,
it seemed like, it's like she's Jewish and she's saying, like, this is her father's brother. So obviously,
she's Italian.
Right. But I'm like, there was none of, and I'm not saying you can't be both. Obviously, duh. Like, yeah. Everyone's a big old mix.
I didn't know that cross-section exists.
It was weird. I think they could have done it in a funnier way.
They could have just made her Italian.
Yeah.
I don't understand either the Italian aspect or the Jewish aspect. And I don't understand, like, again, this movie is very, I do wonder if this movie was placed in a different city, different location, what would it look like? This was a movie about New York women.
So true.
This was, you could not.
And you'd have to have a Jewish woman to be representative of New York City, right?
Yeah. I think you could have had an Italian woman, but yes, a Jewish woman is very.
An Italian woman in New York City, I'm thinking of like a New Jersey, like Janice from Friends, Fran Drescher, like that kind of.
Okay. Yeah, I think hair. You have to have a Jewish woman. So
yeah.
They have to have a little culture.
And that was fine, but it was like.
There's no problem with it, but then you have this Italian.
Uncle Carmine is going to take care of it. I just thought, that's weird.
Well, and they, since we haven't talked about her character, we talked about Brenda. Was probably out of the least interesting, I would say.
Agreed.
But not bad. Like, Bette Midler is always incredible, but it was Bette Midler as Brenda. It wasn't.
Yeah, it's not. She's it's her like, big look, it's Brett. It's Bette Midler.
Fast talking. Blah, 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 you know what I mean? Beautiful voice. Big personality. Voice. A little naggy. But I think they wanted to use. Like, a Jewish woman because they wanted that naggy, that trope of that naggy,
like mom, like boisterous, more like overbearing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Character.
Like what? What do you want from me?
Yeah.
What do you want? What do you want?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So yeah, I get that.
I think she was hilarious. She's always great. But I think out of the three, like Goldie Hawn was like the star.
I like that. Here's something I liked about the film. Are you ready?
Yeah.
In the opening,
only thing.
The only thing I liked. No, not really. In the opening credits, which I liked. I liked the color. They were perfect for the age. Like, I'm all about that. Those stylistic choices for credits specifically. In the opening credits, it shows the three front runners at the same time. I loved that.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Goldie Hawn and then the next scene, Diane Keaton. It was all three.
When I say star, I don't mean like they focused most on her. I think every woman, maybe Annie got a little bit more because she was narrating.
Definitely.
But I think every woman was shown equally. I think Goldie Hawn's ability to take that character to the next level.
Totally.
Like she took a very mediocre script and turned a nice piece of gold.
Big time. And I wasn't saying that as like a separate to your point. I was I liked it.
That's really cool.
Question for you.
Yes.
Today, it's 2021. We're making the movie.
Oh God. I know
who's one. Directing.
Oh, I don't know who's directing. You get to pick the director.
Okay. Then who's in it? It's not the TV show. I don't know who
she would play. Maybe she would play Brenda.
Give it.
Or
give it.
Annie.
Give it to me.
Toni Collette.
She has to be in the movie.
She would be so good.
Toni Collette is good in everything.
Yeah. But I can see her playing a much more up-to-date Annie, who's a little bit more assertive. Can you mean a little bit?
Oh, she would be Annie.
Yeah. She's unsure, but she shows it in a totally different way. It's not this like, sure. It's like this more like... control like freak.
Shaky chihuahua.
Yeah, it's a little bit more like a control freak. Like, I'm thinking about her in Little Miss Sunshine.
I love her.
Like, she plays a really great mother.
She does.
And, like, Annie's character was, like, a mother to her husband, a mother to her daughter, a mother to her mother. That's why she was so much a doormat, because she was trying to, you know what I mean, elevate everybody else.
Everybody else.
So Toni Collette would do a good job at
good
that.
Good job. Oh, good. Good thank choice.
You. Thank you.
Good choice. God, I love Toni Collette. Oh, man. I feel like our... Elise would be played by let's see who's in their 40s right now.
Oh gosh, I don't know.
Or early 50s.
Yeah.
Do you think Julia Roberts has a place? I know you don't like her, but think about it. No. Okay, that's fine. That's fair. That's okay.
Who are you gonna say for
that she would be Elise.
No.
Who's Elise?
I don't know, but not Julia Roberts.
You don't think so?
No. Julia Roberts is... I think the women have to be in their 40s. Jennifer Aniston, I don't like her, but I can see her in this movie.
As Elise?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Maybe she went to LA for a bit.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. What about Melissa McCarthy for Brenda?
Yeah, maybe. I can see that.
To make it funnier.
Yeah.
Oh, here's another thing I didn't like.
Catherine Hahn.
Stop. Yes. I invite you to stop it because that is great.
Catherine Hahn.
Are you a casting director?
Maybe.
Do you think we'd be good at that? I do. I think so. I feel like we have a future in it.
I think it would be cute. You know what would be cute?
What?
For Brenda.
Yes.
Kate Hudson.
Oh, wait. You mean Elise?
Or Elise.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cute. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. That's fair. Here's another trope I didn't like. Like, Brenda kept getting, like, fat shamed the whole movie, and she's, like, a perfectly average-sized woman.
Yeah.
And it's just was so... But, of course, like, Shelley is this, like, stick of a woman. Like,
yeah.
I just... You just wonder, like, how we got here as a society with, like, body shaming and stuff. It's been so many decades in the making. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway. If it was made then, so it's still 1996. This is my last question for you, I think.
Okay.
Because we have like 5 minutes.
Okay.
And it's a female director. How is this movie different?
How's the movie different? I think it would feel and it had the potential because it's had the same screenwriter as like a Steel Magnolia.
Oh, okay.
Where it was a very serious film, but there were like these moments of like levity.
Okay.
So it was like a little bit more of like a melodrama.
Uh-huh.
I think that movie had the potential.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It would still be set in New York. Mm-hmm. It would be a little bit more grungier.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? It wouldn't be as clean.
Yeah. All right.
And I think it would be a little bit longer.
I think you're right. I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that movie... I think the movie could have been made in, like, the early 2000s with a female director. I don't see a female director in, like, early to mid.
Not for that.
No, not for a comedy. And that's the thing. It's a comedy. It's not, like, you know what I mean? Yes, geared towards women, but it was marketed and presented as a comedy.
Totally. Yeah. So, 6.8 for me. What is it for you?
I would agree with your 6.8 for like
critique
and like script and acting. Acting, I would give it like an 8. So the acting was strong.
Okay.
Style wise, I think it's a solid 9. Like stylistically, it's beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful. I did
beautiful
like that.
Beautiful costuming, beautiful decor.
Oh,
just how every cinematography, how everything flows.
Big time.
It flows really well. The pacing is a little fast.
It was.
And the script wasn't as strong as it needed to be.
Right. Okay,
like a lot of ideas
that's fair.
Flush out. But that's I fair. Still love.
But movie. We all have movies that, what you just said, aren't like mechanically 10, but we love them.
I love the movie. Right. It's just, I don't understand. I can't tell you why.
I get it. Can't.
But God, that's such a good movie. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you.
I say go see this movie.
I think everybody should watch it once.
What would you be drinking with this movie?
Oh, you could be like Elise and have a vodka rocks.
Yes. Gin martini.
I feel like you would be drinking a martini with this. Yeah. Yep. Gin, dry.
Yes. Or very dry white wine.
Very dry white wine. Or Manhattan.
Yeah.
Just because that's where
we are. We're in New York.
Forget about it. What are you going to do?
Right? Oh my gosh.
Uncle Combine. Well,
send us some suggestions for next week.
Please. We're just.
Week. I don't even know where to go.
Honestly, we're going to have to start drawing you out of a hat. We should do that. What if we both hate it? That'd be amazing.
Gosh, that'd be good. I want to pick us a really bad movie so we both can shit on it.
Oh, yeah. That would be fun.
Or like a really great one so we can just praise it all episode. We want extreme people.
Give one that Colin and I will fucking agree on. Like, I want a wholehearted agreement.
Yes.
Either love it or hate it.
Yeah.
But wholehearted agreement.
We want another, the favorite. We want another one of those moments.
Yes.
Okay, folks. Well, bye, enjoy everybody. Your summer and happy Juneteenth.
Happy June fucking teenth, people.
Bye.
Bye. Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Colin.
And you've been listening to Let's Hear It for the Girls. It's always a great time at Speak Studios in Boise, Idaho, and we hope you enjoy learning about the girls.
Now listen, you better like, subscribe, and review us on all major platforms. We'll see you next time.
And thanks for listening. Thank you.